Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Well, our listener support campaign continues, and I want to thank everyone so much for your support. I especially want to thank Beth, William, and Ian. Thanks so much. We'll be sending along thank you gifts. During the listener support campaign, all donations of $7 or more, as is the case throughout the year, receive access to our premium site. In addition, donations of $20 or more will receive a free digital copy of my ebook, All I Needed to Know I Learned from Columbo, as well as another thank you gift. Among those choices that are available at the $50 level, we'll be happy to send you your choice of any of the great Poirot or Marple BBC Radio 4 audio dramas that are available through Audible. And at the $100 level, we'll send you a nice size gift certificate to RadioArchives.com. They have a lot of great stuff there. They've got some Golden Age radio dramas, including some episodes of Let George Do It that you can't get elsewhere. And they also have Pulp Fiction books on audiobook. And all these are available for download. Their download sets are just fantastic. And that's available at the $100 level. But now it's time for us to go ahead and get a listen to today's episode of Nick Carter. This episode is called State's Prison Evidence, or Nick Carter and the Mystery of the Midnight Murder.
What is it?
Another case for Nick Carter, Master Detective.
Yes, it's another case for that most famous of all manhunters, the detective whose ability at solving crime is unequaled in the history of detective fiction, Nick Carter, Master Detective. Tonight's curious adventure,
State's Prison Evidence, on Nick Carter and the Mystery of the Midnight Robbery.
Pardon me, could you let me have a line?
Certainly. There you are.
Swell night, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. It's a pleasure to walk on a night like this.
Yeah. Well, thanks.
Not at all.
Good night.
Good night. Yes, even in a big city like this, stars are just...
Help!
What? Help! I wonder what's wrong with her. I beg your pardon, but is there anything I can do? Can I help you? Is something wrong?
Murder!
Murder? Who is it?
My uncle.
When did it happen?
I don't know.
Well, where is he?
Library.
In this big house right here?
Yes. Oh, it's awful.
You shouldn't be out here in your night clothes. It's too chilly. Come, let me take you back to the house. Come on.
Yes. Back to the house.
Did you call the police?
No, I just saw him lying there in a pool of blood. Then I came out here to get help.
Well, I'm Nick Carter, the detective. I'll be glad to help you if I can. Now, careful going up the steps. There we are. Now, you'll show me the library.
He's in there.
Oh, yes, I see. He's dead, all right. Who found him?
The housekeeper. She came in late and saw a light still on in here. She looked in to see if he needed anything and saw...
Then she called you?
Yes.
And you are...
I'm Ella Jarboe, his niece. I've lived here with him for the last 5 years since my mother died.
I see. Has anything been touched since the body was found?
No. Nobody's been in here at all.
Good. Uh-huh. Shot through the head. Close range. Well, it
looks as if he did it himself.
No. No.
Well, here's the pistol that was used right beside him. Did you hear the shot?
No. I sleep at the opposite end of the house. Oh, Mr. Carter, please find whoever killed my uncle.
What makes you think he didn't kill himself?
He wouldn't do a thing like that. I know it.
Well, that's hardly evidence, Miss Ella. Did you see this note?
Note? I know.
Your uncle apparently left it propped up here in his desk. It's addressed to Mrs. Sarah Jarboe, 7 Dunner Street, City. You know her?
I never heard of her. What does it say?
Let's see. My dear madam, you've been a widow, in fact, ever since the hour following our marriage. But before day breaks, you'll be a widow in name also, for I shall be dead. I have at last learned the truth. The one who told me right after our wedding ceremony that you were everything evil has at last confessed that you were really as good as I believed you to be. It's too late for me to ask you to forgive me for the great wrong I've done you. So I'm taking this way of making what amends I can. The upper drawer of my desk is my will, which leaves everything to you, the repentant husband, Enos Jarboe. Well, that's a remarkable document. Did you know anything about your uncle ever having been married?
No, I never heard that before.
Well, that note would seem to prove it was suicide.
I know better. May I see that note?
Of course. Here.
I knew it, Mr. Carter. My uncle didn't kill himself, and he didn't write this note either.
Isn't that your uncle's handwriting?
It looks very much like it, but he didn't write it. Uncle didn't use this kind of pen.
What do you mean?
Uncle Enos was very proud of his handwriting. And he never used anything but a special type of old-fashioned steel pen point. It has a very fine point.
I see. Yes. This note was undoubtedly written with a stub point.
Another thing, Mr. Carter. Uncle never wrote anywhere except at his desk here. And this desk has been locked since yesterday morning, and I have the key.
How long have you had it?
I borrowed it yesterday morning because I had some letters to write. And I've had it ever since.
Is there another key to this desk?
No. Uncle would never write anywhere else.
You're quite a convincing detective, Miss Ella. And if you're right, this can't be suicide, in spite of the other evidence.
I know I'm right. Uncle would never have taken his own life.
I believe you. And I'm just curious enough about this to do a little investigating myself. If I'm as good a detective as you are, I'll find your uncle's murderer in short order.
You think this Mrs. Sarah Blake is the woman you want, Nick?
I'm not sure, Patsy. But when the maid told me that she never heard of Mrs. Sarah Jarboe, but that Mrs. Sarah Blake lives here, I thought I'd better talk to her. She might be Mrs. Jarboe using her maiden name.
Here she comes now.
You wish to speak to me?
I'm looking for Mrs. Sarah Jarboe. Do you know her?
I do. I am Sarah Jarboe.
You were right, Nick.
My name is Bill Peters. I'm a reporter. I'm writing a story on the sudden death of your husband, Enos Jarboe.
Oh, the poor man. He died to make up to me for my years of heartbreak.
Yes, I saw the note he left. Would you please tell me what happened?
Well, I met him one summer on the coast of Maine. We were married in the fall. We took a train for Boston, and on the way he went into the smoking car to smoke a cigar. I never saw him again.
Why, that's terrible. Why didn't he come back?
I only know that when the train reached the station, a messenger gave me $500 and a note.
Oh.
It said that he had learned I was not a good woman, and that I should never see him again.
But didn't you try to clear it up?
No. If he believed it, I would never seek to persuade him otherwise. I've worked as a governess ever since.
I see. Well, thank you very much, Mrs. Jarboe. Come along, Patsy.
Goodbye, Mrs. Jarboe. I hope you'll be happy now.
Thank you, and goodbye.
She certainly got a tough break.
You know, Patsy, I was prepared to doubt everything she told me, but somehow I'm inclined to believe her story, even if it does spoil my theory that she's part of an elaborate put-up job.
Which way are you going from here?
Oh, well, I think I'll...
Pardon me, would you let me have a light?
Oh, yes, of course. Here you are.
Thanks. Nice day, isn't it?
Yes, very pleasant.
Thanks. So long.
So long. Oh, come along, Patsy. Wait a minute. I've met that man somewhere before. He asked me for a light just that same way. Where was it? Well, of course. It was outside Jarboe's house last night right after the murder.
You mean you think he...
Wait a minute. Watch a minute. I want to see if he...
Yes.
He's going into the house we just left.
Right. If he and Mrs. Jarbo know each other, the chances are her story's a phony.
Oh, but Nick, she thinks...
Yes, I know what I know, Patsy, but this changes things. Patsy, I want you to find out what you can about old Enos Jarbo's past. Find out about that marriage, if there ever was one. But first, call Scubby and tell him to get here right away.
Okay.
That man leaves before Scubby gets here. I'll follow myself. Otherwise, Scubby can tail him. But I've got to know where he goes and what he does. Right now, he's our one positive clue.
Is it all right to talk in here, Nick?
The lobby of a big hotel is probably the safest place in the world to talk in, Scubby. Well, what'd you find out?
Well, I followed him over to a saloon over on 3rd Avenue.
Yeah?
There was a fellow waiting there for him. I tried to hear what they talked about, but all I could get was the name Jarbo. Yeah, I heard that several times.
I thought so.
But just as I was really getting in close, a couple of plainclothes cops came along and pinched him.
Pinched him? What for?
Well, it seems he broke out of state's prison 3 days ago. I heard the cops call him Barney McCoy.
Barney McCoy.
Yeah.
Jailbird from state's prison. Pardon me, Scubby. Want to speak to the desk clerk?
Oh, sure, Nick, but what do you have to...
Oh, clerk, I'd like to speak to the governor's suite, please.
Yes, Mr. Carter. Use booth number 2 right over there, please.
Thank you.
Oh, Nick, what in the world do you want to talk to the governor for?
Just happen to remember, Scubby. He's stopping at this very hotel for a few days. I want him to do me... Hello, Mr. Secretary. Well, this is Nick Carter. I'd like to speak to the governor a moment, if I may. Thank you. Hello, Governor. This is Nick Carter. Fine, thanks. Governor, I want to go to state's prison. Oh, no, not as a visitor. I want to go as a convict.
Nick, are you nuts?
No, I mean it. If you can spare me 5 minutes, I think I can convince you. Thanks, I'll be right up. Ella, I asked you to meet me here at my office because I'm going to be out of town for a few days, and I want to have everything straight before I leave. Has anything further happened?
Nothing, Mr. Carter, except that Mrs. Jarbo has installed herself in the house as its mistress. She's very unpleasant to me, and I know she'd like me to leave.
Well, you stay right there. Did the will leave anything to you?
No, Mr. Carter. Everything went to her. I can't understand it.
I can. That will is forged.
But the will is in Uncle's handwriting, and both the witnesses to the will have identified their signatures as genuine. And the will was found where the note said it would be.
Nevertheless, I'm convinced the will's a fake. Betsy, what did you find out?
Eunice Jarbo and Sarah Blake were married right enough. I found the record in a little church on the south side.
Sarah really is his wife. Forged will doesn't make sense. And neither does a suicide note which Jarbo didn't write.
Maybe he did kill himself after all, Mr. Carter. Maybe he just forgot about me.
No, I don't believe it, Ella.
I don't either. And Ella, I'm going to prove I'm right, even if I have to go to jail to do it.
Oh, you're the new man.
Yeah, Warden.
What's your name?
Max Herbert.
Where were you born?
Buffalo, New York.
How old are you?
33.
Nationality?
American.
Married?
Nope.
Crime?
Housebreaking.
Very well. The guard will take you to the photographer's and then to the laboratory.
Well, fella, you've been here 3 days. How do you like working in this shoe shop?
I don't like it. Not cut out for it.
What are you in for?
Second story job. What'd I get you for?
Cracking a safe. There's 4 of us. 2 of them got away. Me and McCoy was nailed cold.
McCoy? Hey, you wouldn't mean Barney McCoy, would you?
Yeah. Yeah, you know him?
Sure, know him well. Great guy.
Yeah, sure is. And you know his wife?
Yeah, some.
He's a darn smart woman, Addie is.
Addie?
Yeah.
Thought her name was Sarah.
No, no, his wife's Addie. Sarah was his sister. Yeah, they look so much alike, you couldn't tell one from the other.
Yeah. Well, what became of Sarah?
I don't know. She married some rich guy for his money, but left her flat. I don't know what happened after that. Addie's still in town waiting for Mac to get out.
Yeah, he did break out a few days ago. We just caught him and brought him back here.
Yeah. Yeah, they got him on the rock pile for trying to escape.
Hey, cut out that talking, you guys. Get back to work.
Okay, okay.
So Barney McCoy is on the rock pile now. I rather think I'd like to be transferred to the rock pile myself.
now for almost 2 weeks.
Yeah. So what?
You know I wouldn't give you a bum steer, don't you?
What are you leading up to, Max?
I'm working on a way to get out of here. Before I come up here, I heard you on the level. I'd like to let you in on it.
Where did you ever hear of me outside this place?
In a big town. A girl named Sarah told me about you.
What?
He married his sister, Eddie.
You know Sarah?
Sure. About 5-6 years ago. Haven't seen her since, though.
Sarah's in Europe now.
Yeah.
When are you planning on getting out of here?
As soon as I get the necessary people lined up.
If I had some dough, we could get out of here tomorrow.
How much do you need?
About 200 to start with.
Okay. I'll have it for you tomorrow.
Okay, Max. You get that stuff and we'll be out of here in 2 days.
All right, you get 5 minutes to talk.
Hey, Nick, why don't you...
Scubby, hold it, hold it. I'm Max Herbert in here.
Oh, I'm sorry, I should have remembered. How in the world did you ever get in this place?
Well, the governor fixed it so that I was caught red-handed robbing the home of a friend of his. Yeah. When they caught me, I had the family silver in one hand and the family jewels in the other. It was easy. And now you arranged to be transferred to the gang where McCoy's working.
Well, have you found anything?
Yes, but it's all circumstantial. But Barney McCoy and I are breaking out of here day after tomorrow. And I'm hoping to get some proof then.
Are you sure you're getting out of here?
Yes. One of the keepers is working with us.
Huh.
I think this same keeper fixed McCoy's getaway last time. And I also think, from what I've heard, that he may have helped in Jarboe's murder.
Yeah?
I've learned positively that he was absent from the prison on leave that day.
But isn't there danger if you're getting hurt if you try to break out of here?
Of course there is. I have to take that chance. I've got to stick to McCoy. Don't worry, Scubby. I'll be all right. I hope.
All set, McCoy?
All set. Everything's fixed.
Good.
You see that delivery truck over there, Max?
Yeah.
Well, that's going to break down when it tries to start.
I get it.
We'll have to help it get out of the yard here.
Right.
Listen. He's trying to start it now.
The guard all set?
Sure. Mike's with us all the way. Same as before.
Hey! You over there!
That's us. Come on.
Gavin, give us a hand with this truck.
Okay. What's the matter?
Motor won't start. Have to give him a push. You two get a hold here and give him a start.
Okay, Mike.
Rest of you guys get back to work.
All right, get your shoulder behind it, Max.
Okay.
Let's go.
All right.
Heave. All right, again. Heave.
Once more.
Well, come on, get it going. We ain't got all day. Heave.
As soon as the motor starts, jump on the truck.
Right, I got you. Okay, again. There.
Come on, Max.
I'm in. Get down so they can't see you.
Look, the bridge over the railroad tracks is just ahead. When we get over the tracks, be ready to jump.
Be right with you.
All right, now, come on.
Right behind you, Barney.
Jump on the tender of that engine below us. Now!
Okay!
You all right, McCoy?
Yeah.
Come on, engineer. Give her all the steam you got. Don't stop the talk. You, fireman, feed the coal to her. I don't want to use this gun unless I have to. Watch out, Max. The outside wall of the prison is just ahead. You'd better duck. There's going to be shooting.
Right, McCoy. All okay so far.
Oh, here it comes. Watch it.
Look at him pull it out.
Well, we're out of jail now. And for good.
It's good to see you back in your office again, Mr. Carter.
Yes, it's good to be back here, Ella. Now tell me, have you learned anything interesting since I last saw you?
I think so, Mr. Carter.
Now let's have it.
A few months ago, our housekeeper spent about a month visiting her son in California. Before she went, she put an ad in the paper for a temporary housekeeper. Several women answered the ad, and Mrs. Martin was given the job. She had light brown hair and wore dark glasses. I disliked her on sight, and I'm sure she disliked me. When our housekeeper returned, this Mrs. Martin left, and I never saw her again until the day my uncle was buried.
What do you mean, Ella?
On that day, she presented herself as my uncle's widow.
Your uncle's widow?
Yes, Mr. Carter. When she first came to live in the house after the funeral, I thought there was something very familiar about her. But not until a few days ago did I suddenly realize that Mrs. Jarboe was Mrs. Martin, with black hair instead of brown and without her dark glasses.
Ella, could you swear to that?
No, but some of her little mannerisms, certain tricks of speech, a funny way of walking, all make me positive.
That explains the mystery of how the fake will was forged. While Mrs. Martin was substituting for the housekeeper, she could have found out about the will, taken it out, had a new one forged, and then returned it. The night your uncle was murdered, the forged will was substituted for the original one in the desk drawer by using a duplicate key that had been prepared in advance.
And it might interest you, Nick, to know that when Ella told me this the other day, I checked at the house where we first met Mrs. Jarboe. The woman there told me that Mrs. Jarboe was away on a visit during the month that Mrs. Martin took the place of Ella's housekeeper.
Good work. That settles it, Betsy.
Just a minute, Mr. Carter. There's another thing you better know.
Something else?
Yes, Mr. Carter. Last evening, a strange man came to the house. He and Mrs. Jarboe were apparently old friends, because she called him Mac.
Barney McCoy.
She took him up to her room, where I heard them talking for a long time. I tried to hear what they were saying, but couldn't get close enough. But I did hear him say it was time to get that girl out of the way for good. Huh. And then Mrs. Jarboe said that now that Mac was back, it was time to wind up the job.
Well, Ella, if everything goes as I hope it will, we'll be the ones to wind up the job, not Mrs. Jarboe.
Anything else you want me to do?
Yes. Meet me in the rear of your home tomorrow night at 11 o'clock. Mm-hmm. We'll make our final arrangements then. In the meantime, sit tight and keep your ears and eyes open.
Mr. Carter? Mr. Carter?
That you, Ella?
Yes. Come into the living room here. We can talk better.
Okay. Sure there's no one around?
Not now. That man Mac was here earlier, but he left quite a while ago. Mrs. Jarboe was gone up to her room. We can talk safely here.
All right. Don't turn on the light. Maybe seen. We can talk just as well in the dark.
Whatever you say.
Now tell me, does Mrs. Jarboe know you've ever seen this man Mac?
Oh, no. I've kept out of the way whenever he's been around.
Good. Do you know what he came here for this evening?
There was talk about chloroform and poison. And then she told him the lawyer for the estate was here this afternoon and said that she would be in full legal possession of the estate in another few days.
I see.
And then he said that if that was the case, it was the time to act before it was too late.
Well, now it's time for us to act, too. I think we better... Quiet.
Somebody's unlocking the door through which we came.
Maybe they won't come in here.
Who's in this room? I can't see in the dark, but I know you're there. Who's there?
Who are you?
None of your business. Speak up or I'll shoot.
If you do, you'll never live to see another day.
What's going on in here? Why isn't the light on?
Mrs. Jarboe.
Ella, what are you doing here?
Barney McCoy, you.
Max Herbert, by all that's holy. What are you doing here?
Why, Well, you see, Barney,
Yeah?
He's here because he loves me.
Don't you know this man is an ex-convict? He ought to be serving a sentence in state's prison right now.
Yes, I know that.
Well, that's why we had to meet like this, Barney.
Is this true, Ella?
Yes, Mrs. Jarboe, it is.
Look here, you. You interviewed me a couple of weeks ago, said you were writing a story for your paper. You said then your name was Peters. Now you say it's Herbert.
Well, my real name is Herbert Peters, ma'am. You see, I...
And you? What are you doing here?
I'm a night watchman on duty in this neighborhood. I saw this man come in here and followed him. Recognized him as a suspicious character.
You're both lying. Get out of here, both of you, immediately. And as for you, Ella, get upstairs at once. I'll deal with you later.
Well, that's all the thanks I get for trying to protect your place against thieves. I will get out. Come on, you.
Go ahead, Barney. I'm coming. Good night, Ella, dear.
And see that you never come back, either of you.
Hey, Max.
Yeah?
Was that story about you and the girl straight?
Why, sure, Barney. Wasn't your story on the level?
Well, to tell you the truth, I was going to see if I could find a few things I could swipe. I'm flat broke. You haven't got a few bucks on you, have you?
Sure, Barney. I can let you have a 10 spot.
What?
Here.
Gee, thanks, pal. I won't forget you for this.
Forget it. Yeah, we sure were lucky to get out of there so easy.
Yeah. I thought the old dame was going to have us pinched.
You're under arrest, both of you. Don't try.
I have it not right.
There you go.
Stop! Stop or I'll shoot!
No, you don't. You let go of my arm. You made me miss it.
So what?
Yep. Well, I got you anyway. You won't get away. You're going back to state's prison again, Mr. Max Herbert.
Oh, you know my name, do you?
I sure do.
And I know yours, Ben Lyons.
But what? You know me? Hey, let me look at you.
Gladly. Come over under the streetlight.
All right.
You know me now?
Well, Nick Carter. Well, I'll be... Well, gosh, I'm sorry, Mr. Carter, but a woman just called the station, said she'd passed two escaped convicts in front of her house, and if we hurried, we could pick them up. Even give us their names, too,
well,
so
I... Now, Ben, listen to me. I'm on the trail of something big. Have the lieutenant and eight men meet me at 12 o'clock tomorrow night at the back of the Jarbeau place across the street where they won't be seen.
Okay.
Be sure to tell them not to fail me, because I expect to capture the murderers of Enos Jarbeau. The men posted as we agreed, Scubby?
Yes, Nick. Outside and inside the house.
Good.
They have orders to let anybody come up here, but to let nobody go downstairs again.
Then we're ready for the finale in this case.
What's that you've got there, Nick?
It's a new type of microphone, Patsy.
Oh.
I've attached it to the wall between this room and Mrs. Jarbeau's room.
Mm-hmm.
Through the vibration of the wall, it'll pick up whatever is said in her room. Then whatever is picked up is amplified so that it's loud enough for us to hear it. The amplifier also has a recording device which makes a permanent record of the conversation on a wire tape.
Gosh, what will they think of next?
Quiet now. Let's listen. I'll turn it on.
But I tell you, Barney, we can't lose. In a few more days, the whole Jarbeau estate will be mine, legally.
I know, Addie, but can you handle that girl for a few days more?
Well, if I can't, we'll give her what we gave the old man.
Do we have to?
If she's dead, we know she ain't gonna bother us.
Yeah.
So we bet...
Hey, what the devil's that?
Quiet. How do I know? The housekeeper's answering it.
Hey, somebody's coming up here.
Did you tell anybody you were coming up here?
Anybody here?
Mike! What are you doing here?
Well, that's a fine question to ask me. I'm here because you sent for me.
Who sent for you?
You did, McCoy.
You're crazy. I did nothing of the kind.
I got your note this morning. Here it is.
What?
Come to Jarbeau House tonight, but not before 12. Everything okay? Very important. And it's signed Barney.
Listen, I never wrote that note.
Well, if you didn't, it means trouble for us. Somebody else knows about this business besides us three.
You mean we're caught? We ain't caught yet. But we will be if we don't watch our step. Even now...
I was afraid of this. I knew I should have kept down a bit.
Ah, shut up, you rat. You're not in jail yet.
But I'm going to be. I can feel it coming.
Don't shut up, Mike. I'll brain you.
You did it, McCoy. You fired the shot that killed the old man. I just
shut up, you slipper.
Come on, kids. It's enough of that. Let's go.
Right with you, Nick.
I'll take it easy, Sarah. Wait a minute, will you?
I can't wait any longer.
Get your hands up, both of you. And no funny business.
Max, what are you...
No, McCoy, not Max. Nick Carter.
Nick Carter? You ain't got nothing on us.
Oh, Nick's got enough on you three to send you to the chair.
Yes, McCoy, we know the whole plot from beginning to end.
Tell him what we found out, Nick.
What do you mean?
It means I know that Sarah married Jarbeau, and that shortly afterwards she died. You, Addie, her sister, married McCoy. When Sarah died, you found her marriage certificate and decided to use your resemblance to her to get the old man's money. McCoy was in prison then, but you arranged with the guard Mike here to help McCoy escape when the time was ripe. Then to pay Mike for his trouble, you cut him in the deal. Then you, Addie, got that temporary job here as a housekeeper, which was an unexpected break. While you were here, you had the fake will made. Then when all was ready, McCoy escaped as planned. Mike came with him, and between the three of you, you chloroformed old Jarbeau, and then shot him in such a way that it looked like suicide.
How do you know it wasn't suicide?
The suicide note you left for the old man. Whoever Addie got to forge that will for her did such an expert job that the witnesses recognized their own forged signatures as genuine. But whoever wrote that suicide note was so clumsy that he wrote it with a blunt-pointed fountain pen instead of the sharp-pointed steel pen that was the only pen Jarbeau ever used.
That ain't proof. That's guessing.
We've got plenty of proof, McCoy. And if that isn't enough, to top it all off, the conversation in this room between you three crooks has been recorded in full for the past 20 minutes. And if that isn't practically a confession and good legal evidence in any court, my name isn't Nick Carter.
This was another strange experience of Nick Carter, Master Detective, called State's Prison Evidence, or Nick Carter and the Mystery of the Midnight Murder. another of the curious adventures of Nick Carter, which are brought to you regularly at the same time each week by WOR Mutual. And Alec, what about our story for next week?
Well, next week's story started off as a simple question of who stole the firm's funds.
But it ended up by being the very perplexing question of who killed two men and caused the death of a third.
And not the least puzzling part of the case was to find out who fired the fatal bullet which started off the murders.
Well, isn't that usually the most puzzling part of a murder story?
Well, yes, it is. But in this case, the man who was killed was standing by my side in the corridor of a large office building. And there was no one around at the time who could have fired the gun that killed him.
I'm afraid I'm getting more mixed up all the time.
That's exactly how we felt about it. But Nick cleared it all up in spite of everything.
And we'll tell you all about it next week. So long.
So long, folks.
And so long to you, Nick and Patsy. See you next week. In the strange adventure you've just heard, Nick Carter was impersonated by Lon Clark, Patsy by Helen Choate, and Scubby by John Kane. Original music was played by Lew White. The entire production was written and directed by Jock McGregor. Next week at the same time, another curious experience of Nick Carter entitled
An Angle on Murder, or Nick Carter and the Mystery of the Mutilated Bullet.
This story is a copyrighted feature of Street & Smith Publications, Incorporated. The Return of Nick Carter is produced in the studios of WOR and is broadcast over most of these stations every Monday evening at 9:30 Eastern Wartime. This is Mutual.
Welcome back. Another mystery. I will let legal experts in the audience comment on whether Nick's evidence would have been all valid in 1943. But this is kind of a typical thing you would see, actually, to be honest, in one of the Nick Carter pulp novels. Overall, just a pretty fun story. And in keeping with the type of stories, I could imagine I've read some of the Nick Carter pulp stories that have become available online, and I could imagine this is something he would do. You know, and in some ways it's, 2 weeks without any real sort of pay, undercover in a prison. Yeah, that's the type of thing Nick Carter would do. So, just overall a very solid story. Well, we do now turn to some listener comments and, feedback. And, this comes from Patty, who says that, my husband Mike has a comment about the latest episode of Nick Carter. He's surprised that you did not mention that Nick bragged that his guns were waterproof. His quote is, "That is not possible, especially for that day and age. The show did not explain where or how Nick's guns were waterproof. The fact that Nick said that he had special guns is even more like the 60s Batman than the whole water tank prison you mentioned at the end of the show. However, we both thought it was a great episode with all the behind the scenes with the voodoo movie and the movie set. We both enjoy the shows, especially Johnny Dollar and Nick Carter." Well, thanks so much, Patty. Well, I will often reserve comments because I'm not necessarily a forensic expert, and that's why I love when the audience, when people in the audience, we'll call the shows on things, because I'll notice some things based on my life and expertise, but I won't notice everything. And that's a good call. I should note that the same listener and the comment where they put it got buried, so I apologize. I don't know who said it specifically, but he pointed out, well, one of the writers for the Carter show was also wrote for the for The Shadow, you know, which is another pulp classic, and that makes sense since both shows were on Mutual. Both shows were based on Street and Smith publications. And the pulps come up with some odd things. You know, in the pulp magazines, you know, people like Nick Carter, people, you know, and The Shadow, and Doc Savage, they always seem to just have their own, you know, special things and special rules that apply to them. And so that, I think, is the type of perspective that that writer's coming from. And I think we will probably see that sort of thing in Nick Carter. And so if I miss something and you're in touch with reality in a particular area where I'm perhaps not as skilled in all the details of something, drop me a line because I'd love to hear from it. And, you know, that's one of the great things about the show, just how we learn together. All right, now we have some additional comments. Eric writes on Facebook, just simply, you do a good job. Thank you. Well, thank you, Eric. Dragonflies 2, writing over on Amazon, says, I listen to old time radio on my iPod and I love it. This allows me to listen to old-time detectives on my tablet. The shows are great with a lot of variety. Adam also includes some old videos and extras in the app. I enjoy his comments before and after the shows, but you can fast-forward if you don't. I use Wi-Fi, but I download episodes because I can listen when I don't have Wi-Fi. This is a big plus for me. I can listen or watch videos while traveling. He provides a lot of episodes, and I anticipate each new show. Well, thanks so much. I'm glad you're enjoying the app and using it appropriately. Finally, I have a comment from Podcast Alley. I spent hours listening to some great radio podcast and then look forward to Adam's commentary. I learned something new with each episode and can now recognize many voices of the radio actors. Adam's love of these old radio shows is catchy. Well, thanks so much, and that is one thing I hope continues to spread. All right, well, folks, that'll do it for today. I want to thank everyone so much for listening. But I do encourage you to support the show, support.greatdetectives.net, to give electronically. If you'd rather give by snail mail, email me, and I'll be happy to send you a donation address. You can follow the show on Twitter at Radio Detectives, and follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.